The Lord our righteousness. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. Psalms chapter 89, verse 14. As one of God's four attributes, righteousness is synonymous with our Heavenly Father. The entire plan of salvation is a testimony of His righteousness in dealing with both the angelic and earthly creation. Righteousness is translated from the Hebrew word TSEDAQAH, Strong's 6666, which means justice, righteousness in government, as God's attribute, in a cause, truthfulness, as ethically right, or as vindicated or in acts. TSEDAQAH is derived from the Hebrew root word TSADAQ, Strong's 6663, which means to be just, righteous, to do, bring, or declare justice, or to justify or make righteous. God's righteousness is first explicitly declared in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, where we learn that keeping the way of the Lord is by doing righteousness and justice. However, the righteousness of God was implied earlier when He first gave man a commandment to follow, Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and then executed the prescribed punishment when it was transgressed. Then to Adam, He, God, said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. God thinks, speaks, and acts according to a set of fixed principles based on justice and equity for all. Though He has the power to act, God constrains Himself by these principles. For all intelligent creatures in His realm, God provides everlasting life based upon their living in harmony with these principles. The psalmist declared, "For the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness." Psalm chapter 11, verse 7. "For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you?" Psalms chapter 71, verse 19. His righteousness endures forever. Psalms chapter 112, verse 3. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Psalms chapter 103, verse 6. God's righteousness revealed through His plan of salvation. Since Lucifer's rebellion and Adam's disobedience, a portion of God's creation has been out of harmony with His righteous principles. Consequently, while dealing with the rebellion, God has been methodically educating the angels and mankind about the benefits of following principles of righteousness and providing an opportunity for the disobedient ones to come back into harmony with Him by being conformed to His principles. Through His plan, the Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. Psalms chapter 98, verse 2. God has been teaching all, righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth His way. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. God demonstrated His righteousness through the giving of His law to Israel. The law revealed that among mankind, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Our Lord Jesus confirmed this at His first advent when He said, "No one is good except God alone." Luke chapter 18, verse 19. God's righteousness through Christ. Because every member of the human race was fallen, the law revealed that no one was perfect and hence equal to Adam. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. Psalms chapter 49, verse 7. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. God's righteousness was demonstrated by sending His only begotten Son as His agent to bring mankind back into harmony with His righteous principles. This is prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." The phrase, "the Lord our righteousness," is translated from the Hebrew phrase Yehovah T-S-E-D-E-Q, meaning the existing one's justice, rightness, or righteousness. The righteous branch God sent to earth as a ransom for Adam and subsequently raised from the dead is our Lord Jesus Christ. Raised as a priest and king after the order of Melchizedek, our Lord will save Judah, and under his protection, Israel will dwell securely. This title was given to our Lord in the context of Jeremiah's prophecy regarding the upcoming destruction of Judah. Here, through Jeremiah, God reprimands the shepherds, or leaders, of Israel for their lack of care for the nation. "What sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherds of my sheep, for they have destroyed and scattered the very ones they were expected to care for. Instead of caring for my flock and leading them to safety, you have deserted them and driven them to destruction. Now I will pour out judgment on you for the evil you have done to them." Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. God's righteousness led him to intervene and rectify this situation. After removing the failing shepherds and punishing the nation through the diaspora, I, God, will gather together the remnant of my flock from the countries where I have driven them. I will bring them back to their own sheepfold, and they will be fruitful and increase in number. Then I will appoint responsible shepherds who will care for them, and they will never be afraid again. Not a single one will be lost or missing. I, the Lord, have spoken. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. The righteous branch God would raise would be these responsible shepherds' chief. God's righteousness toward the church. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 4, God spoke of appointing responsible shepherds, plural, who would care for Israel. The implication is that Christ would have associates who would assist him in gathering the nation and bringing it back into harmony with God. Jesus mentioned this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, when Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This title, the Lord our righteousness, is extended from our Lord to his body members, the little flock, by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin, offering on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Through our faith in Jesus as a ransom for Adam, and by consecration being baptized into Jesus' death, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Our goal is to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Our Lord's work as the righteous branch makes it possible for his body members to become the Lord our righteousness. The prophet Zechariah writes, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, a man whose name is Branch, for he will branch out from where he is, and he will build the temple of the Lord. Yes, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he who will bear the honor and sit and rule on his throne. Thus, he will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace will be between the two offices." Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Not only does our Lord, the branch, become the priest upon his throne, forever after the order of Melchizedek as God proclaimed in Psalms chapter 110, verse 4, but he builds the church as a temple of the Lord, as Paul expressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God's righteousness toward Israel. The title, The Lord Our Righteousness, is not limited to the Christ head and body. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16, the prophet Jeremiah extends it to fleshly Israel. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell in safety, and this is the name by which she will be called, The Lord is our righteousness. Israel and Judah will be brought back in harmony with God and His principles of righteousness under the new covenant through the work of our Lord and the church. The prophet Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 and 34, But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again, each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord? For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Through the work of the new covenant, God will take away Israel's sin and write His righteous law on their hearts. The context of Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16 indicates that this demonstration of God's righteousness to and subsequent blessing of Israel is part of God's promise to heal the nation. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 5 through 8 says, While I have hidden my face from this city because of all their wickedness, behold, I will bring it to health and healing, and I will heal them, and I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me and by which they have transgressed against me. God adds in verse 9, It, Israel, will be to me a name of joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth, which will hear of all the good that I do for them, and they will fear and tremble because of all the good and all the peace that I make for it. God's righteous blessing to Israel will awe the rest of mankind and, ultimately, prompt them to seek God's righteousness for themselves. Regarding Israel, Jeremiah adds, They shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always, for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 38 through 40. God will teach His righteousness to Israel, putting it in their heart, and as a result, they will become and remain God's people. God's righteousness toward all mankind. Finally, through the work of the new covenant, the phrase, the Lord our righteousness, becomes extended to all the members of the human family who come back into harmony with God through Christ's earthly kingdom. The prophet Isaiah brings this to our attention in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 20 through 25. Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. Who has announced this from of old? Who has long since declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who are angry at him will be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. Not only fleshly Israelites, but all who come to God in Christ's kingdom through Israel will become taught God's righteousness. Only the proud will be cast out. Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. those who say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths," will learn God's righteousness from the law that will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord going forth from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. In this way, both seeds of the Abrahamic promise, spiritual as well as earthly, will demonstrate the righteousness of God, receiving life through their submission to and coming into harmony with that righteousness. They will then become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. God will restore the lives of both groups by guiding them in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalms chapter 23, verse 3.